everyone. Welcome back to the Scrub Life podcast. This is season 4, episode 5, where Maria, Fabiola, and Yasmin discuss being a student in the operating room. So without further ado, let's get started. Hey everyone, my name is Yasmin.
My name's Fabiola.
My name's Maria.
And we're CST students at Tarrant County College, and today we will be talking about our experience in the OR as new students. A couple of topics we'll be talking about are what we expected in the OR, what the reality actually is, and important skills we have learned throughout our clinical rotations. So what are some things you guys expected to see?
I expected to see a lot more blood during the surgeries.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Me too. It's not as bloody as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, most cases don't have a lot of blood. Like, the most I've seen have been, like, in C-sections and ortho.
Mm-hmm. Ortho?
Yeah. Like, at Harris, when I was at Harris, I had some cases that were pretty bloody that were in ortho.
I haven't really been in ortho, but a C-section for sure. That one was the most bloody I've ever seen. That was really cool.
Were any open cases like in exploratory laparotomy? Oh, yeah. You're gonna see a lot of blood there.
I thought the first incision would be like, I would see a lot more blood. Like, you don't see anything.
Yeah.
Not till actually get into there.
More deep.
So what about like the surgeries that get so bloody and you have to like use so many labs, like keep asking for more and more labs? How many have y'all had surgeries where you have to do that?
Yes, I have, and I would have to keep asking my nurse for more and more labs. And I would always think that, okay, maybe they don't need any more, but you know, I would just ask for more in case he did need them. But yeah, the most I've had maybe was like 40, 50 labs maybe.
Oh, me too. Oh, I felt bad and kept asking for more from my circulator, but man, I was like, geez, this guy's using a lot of labs, but it was pretty bloody in there. So yes, everyone, it's not as bloody as you might think in the OR, but definitely some cases can be bloodier than others. In some cases, you'll use like one lab compared to another one where you use like 50. It all just depends on the types of surgeries. Yeah.
So Fabiola, what did you expect to see?
I expected people to walk back to back, sterile to sterile, and non-sterile to non-sterile.
Oh yeah, like we learned in school, like walking around like crabs all around each other, being careful.
And then sometimes there could be a lot of people in one room, so it gets very crowded. So, you know, it's very hard to walk like a crab inside.
Yeah, being careful like that with all, you know, like when the surgeons bring in their students and you have nursing students.
And reps.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, the reps. Always in the way. So it can get pretty crowded in the rooms.
And especially when you're trying to figure out where to position your back table.
Yeah, I never expected the positioning of your back table in Mayo to make such a difference.
Oh yeah, especially like when you're bringing it like up to the field, you have to really think about where you're putting it, leaving enough room for your circulator or reps to pass by.
And also making sure to not be like in an awkward position to pass your instruments, you know?
Oh yeah.
An incident I had was when I had to like stand behind the assistant and she was standing next to the surgeon. So my Mayo was behind them. So that was an awkward position for me to pass instruments to, you know, in the field. So I had to like stand far enough not to contaminate.
Oh yeah, that happened to me. I was standing right behind the surgeon and they were like not even facing me, so I was passing behind them, and it was very hard to pass by that, like that, and then having my back table right next to me, but I couldn't go on the other side, so that makes such a big difference. So you really got to think about where you're putting everything, making sure it's easy access.
So guys, have you ever had an incident where the surgeon asked for an instrument by a different name?
Yeah, one time I had this surgeon call the acepto a gun. So he was asking me for a gun and I was confused, not knowing what he was asking for. And my preceptor was like, just give him a bulb of irrigation, you know?
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, it was really weird.
I had an ortho surgeon one time. He was asking for a Clarabelle, and my preceptor was like, just give him this. This is what he calls a Clarabelle. It's not even called that. I don't know where he got that from. It's just a Clarabelle, and that's what he calls it. I'm like, great, Clarabelle.
Or like one time for me where a surgeon was asking for a tag. I was like, well, what's a tag, you know? And then my preceptor was like, give him, it's a cryo, give him the cryo. Like, I don't know, they call them differently.
Yeah, it's really hard when the surgeon is asking for an instrument by a nickname when we haven't even learned the name of the instrument yet, like the actual name of the instrument.
Oh, yeah, like an ENT. Have y'all done ENT cases? Okay. I've never even seen these instruments. There's so many. And I thought the ENT, you know, that we learned, I was like, oh, man, that's all the instruments they use? Oh, no. There's so many. And some of them look all the same. It's really hard to tell them apart, learn all the names. There's definitely a lot of learning we still have to do.
Oh yeah, one time I asked my preceptor for the count sheet so I can go home and study it to get myself more familiar with the instruments.
Oh, that's a good idea. I'm gonna start doing that because there's just so many instruments I've never seen and would like to learn. Good idea.
So what's the longest case you all have been in? Like, I was expecting 20-hour long cases.
Oh yeah, I was expecting really long cases, but I think my longest one was like a flap. So it's literally from like 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. You have a top and a bottom where the top surgeon does like a double mastectomy, and then the bottom surgeon does the flap part. And at one point, you're just like, it gets really overwhelming because you're like passing suture to like 2-3 different surgeons. It's very fast. It gets very, it gets really confusing. But yeah, that's the longest one I've been in.
I think my longest surgery was a hysterectomy where it was robotic, but then we had to convert to open because one of the instruments that we had in the robot broke and we couldn't yank it out.
Into the patient?
Yeah, it broke in there. So we had to go open the patient to get the uterus out, and then after we had to fix the broken instrument to get it out, and then we lost the pickup in the process, so we were looking for that as well.
Oh my goodness, that would make for a very long procedure.
Yeah, it's very long and very frustrating.
I think it can also depend on the surgeon, because you can have two surgeons perform the same procedure and one takes 3 times longer than the other.
That's true. I've been with 2 ENT surgeons, and one, he did a thyroidectomy in like 15 minutes. It's so fast. I think it all just depends on the surgeon.
Have y'all noticed how rough the surgeons are?
Oh yeah, like I was in a C-section once, and at one point they just stopped using retractors, and the surgeon and the assistant were using their hands to pull the woman's stomach apart, like, I guess to get the baby out, but they were like tearing her apart, and I was like, oh my gosh, stop, like you're hurting her. It was crazy, but I guess that's what they do to get the baby out fast.
Yeah, one time I was in a tooth extraction and the surgeon was just like yanking the teeth out. It was multiple teeth and he was just so rough opening the mouth and holding it open and just yanking all the teeth out was...
I don't feel like they don't even care. They just be so rough with the patients, like pulling here, cutting there. Yeah. Like it's just crazy seeing how rough they can be. It's a little scary, but I guess understandable.
So like at the end of the case, when we're about to clean the patient, my preceptor always tells me to like not be too delicate, to just roughly, you know, wipe them down.
Oh yeah, when I clean them up, I'm like all nice and soft, and they're all like rough and cleaning them so fast. It's just like, I feel like they're always in a hurry.
What about the anatomy? Did you guys expect it to look similar than what the book shows us?
I did. I was really shocked, like my first nephrectomy, when they took the kidneys out. I was like, those things are huge. I was, you know, in the book, they're like so much smaller, but they're not... disease, you know, they're unhealthy, but they're pretty big. Like one filled up a whole basin.
Yeah, I scrubbed it into a nephrectomy as well, and the kidney was huge.
That's crazy.
Oh yeah, have y'all noticed in GYN when you're like doing like a hysterectomy, how the uterus can be like so small, but if you go into a C-section, the uterus is like so huge, you know, like.
Yes, it's different. I did notice that the first time. I was like, wow.
So yeah, guys, those were a couple of things we wanted to talk about. And now we're gonna jump into some important skills we learned throughout our OR experience.
I feel like anticipating is the hardest skill to learn. Knowing the anatomy and like the steps to like the surgery, you like need to memorize that. And I know like it takes time and like years of experience to learn that.
Oh yeah, anticipation. I think that's gonna be the hardest one. I think during cases when you see them repeating a step over and over, that's when it gets easier. I noticed that during a breast surgery, every time she would see a bleeder, she would ask for a tonsil. So by the middle of it, I already knew once I saw a bleeder, she was going to ask for a tonsil. So that made it easier to anticipate what she was going to need.
I feel like the buddy system we learned in school really helped. I've had a few cases where I've actually had to apply it. For example, one time I had a vascular case where we used the vessel loop with cryos and suture booties with a mosquito, and obviously you're wet.
I've been in a couple of ortho cases and I've seen them use the saw to a septo and Ronjoro with the Raytech.
Yeah, so I feel like the buddy system is like an intro to an anticipation, but to develop the skill is a lot harder than I was expecting.
So another very important skill that kind of ties into anticipating is staying organized. You know, just making sure that you know where everything is at on your back table and mayo to be able to hand it to the surgeon quickly.
Yeah, staying neat, not having all your instruments all over the place. You don't want to be scrambling to look for something.
And like having like your pickups with no teeth on the working end and having them with teeth on the other side, having them organized for if that surgeon asks for anything, you know where it's at.
Oh yeah, that really helped me, having them separated like that. I always try to do that.
Have you had preceptors that were like very unorganized?
Yeah, actually I had one that had his mail super unorganized, and it was really frustrating for me because I wanted to move everything and organize it, and everything was just all over the place. So every time that the surgeon asked him for something, he would have to look for it, and it was just frustrating.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I get that. Or when you come in during a case and you didn't do the setup and you have to count, and your instruments, they're all over the place, you don't know where everything's at, and the circulator gets mad with you. That's really frustrating too. Staying organized can also help with another important skill, and that's multitasking.
So I remember scrubbing into this lap coli. It converted into open, and my preceptors didn't think that they would need the Buckwalter set. So like we were very unprepared for that. But my preceptor had a count with the nurse, that opened the Buckwalter. And so I had to be passing the instruments. So I just think about how if it was just me scoping to that case, how I would have to count, pass instruments, and keep everything organized.
I think our preceptors put us in those kind of positions because they know one day we're going to have to be left alone, counting and passing on our own without their help. So I think it's just them trying to prepare us for the real world.
Another good skill that I think it's important to learn is having a good memory, kind of knowing where your instruments are at in your labs and Raytechs are at the whole surgery.
Oh yeah, being prepared for your counts before you count, or before you calling over your circulator. That's happened to me a couple of times. So now I just try to look at my board and count before I count with my circulator.
Yeah, or even like when you have an open belly case and you have to remember how many labs are
inside your patient.
Yeah, inside your patient, because I had one of those the other day, and I thought there was only 3 labs in there, but there was 4. When we started counting, there was actually 4, you know? So you always want to make sure you know where everything's at.
Oh, yeah. And the preceptors make it look so easy.
Oh, yes.
They know where everything's at, how many are here. It's awesome. I can't wait to get there one day.
Or, like, also when, like, you're doing your counts on your sponges, and the surgeon can have, like, a lab right under their hand or something, and it just, like, your count is all messed up already because of how you didn't even see that lab there.
Right, and they never even speak up and say, oh, I have a lab here, you know?
No, I know, yeah. Like, they don't hear you counting, and they know that you need that count.
Another skill we feel is important is, like, learning how to read a preference card.
Yeah, I feel like that's a skill that we all still have to work on. I feel like it's very difficult learning how to read it. I try to go, like, before cases and spread my room, you know, taking out everything that we're going to need for the case. But I always struggle reading the preference card and seeing what we're actually going to need. And then my preceptor comes and just does it in, like, a minute.
Right, and just puts everything back. And I'm like, oh, okay, we're not going to use any of that. All right. Like, we never know what we're going to use. I mean, of course the preceptor does, but I think it just takes time to learn everything that you're actually going to use.
Versus what you're not.
Yeah, versus what you're going to hold.
Yeah, just like the surgeon's preference, sometimes they have exactly what they're going to want on their preference card, you know, like their drapes, and sometimes they even have them in order on how they're going to use them and what they need.
Oh, yeah.
On like their Mayo, yeah. And also dressing. Sometimes they have their dressing all laid out, and even sutures sometimes.
Sometimes I'll have a list of sutures and what to have ready, what to open, what they close with. So that really helps out a lot when it comes to surgeon's preference.
Another important skill is passing instruments, passing them correctly and safely.
Yes, that's a really important skill. I've struggled, I think, a lot with passing, only because I feel like I'm going to try to be in such a hurry, but I want to slow down just so I don't hurt anyone with the sharps.
So passing sharps can be like very dangerous if not handled correctly, especially like when passing to your surgeon, you can like stick yourself or stick them. So yeah, it's very important.
Yeah, and I think I've struggled a lot passing, especially sharps, when the surgeon is next to me. I have like this habit of just using my right hand and kind of like crossing it over my left hand instead of just using my left hand. So I think it's, you know, very important to learn how to use both hands and use someone closer to you to pass to the surgeon.
Also, yeah, it's easier to pass in front of you than next to you. But I've struggled loading suture. I don't know why, it's just so hard. I always feel like the surgeon's always adjusting when I pass it to them.
Yeah.
And then looking out for left-handed surgeons, that happened to me my last day. And he had to keep fixing it. And by the last one, you know, I was able to load it left-handed. So that's an important thing to look out for too.
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of surgeons have like also a preference with how they like their needles loaded. Because sometimes I like load it at an angle and they switch it to just normal. And sometimes I just load it normal and they'll switch it to
angle too.
You know? So it's kind of difficult to know what they like.
And I watch my preceptors, they load the suture so fast. Like, I don't even know how they do it. I'm like, wow. Especially with that PDS, it has so much memory, it's hard to control, and I have a really hard time with that one. Or the vascular surgery.
Or with the proline, right, with the Castro Viejo, so hard to load it because you have to be very careful, you know, and very gentle.
And then
passing
tiny.
It, passing it, it's like passing it like a
pickup.
Like a pickup. So you have to be very careful too, if not losing that needle, because if you lose it, like, then how are you going to do your counts? Because they're very small.
Yeah, and also keeping track of the second needle, because there's two.
Oh, there's two. So when he drops the second one, like, being careful that you get it and to put it in your needle box. So, yeah.
Okay, the last skill we want to talk about is listening. We feel like this is one of the most important skills that you would think is so simple.
Yeah, but when you have a lot of like background noise, it's really difficult. Like when you have your Bovie going, your suction, and then some ORs even have music in them, it's really difficult to hear your surgeon.
And sometimes the surgeon can even mumble. So since we like all wear surgical masks, it makes it harder to like listen, you know?
I hate to ask them to repeat themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So being an active listener is really important, especially if you have a mumbler as a surgeon.
Okay, guys, that's all we have for today. We appreciate you guys for listening to our podcast. Be sure to head on over to our classmates' podcast on The Scrub Life and hear what they have to talk about. Bye.
Thank you, everyone, for supporting our students and listening to episode 5, Being a Student in the Operating Room. Great job to Maria, Fabiola, and Yasmin for sharing their experiences. If you would like more information on our program, please follow us on Instagram at TCC Surge Tech. We also have a Facebook page. You can search the Scrub Life podcast. And for more information on this episode, as well as any references, please visit our webpage, thescrublifepodcast.wordpress.com. My name is Chris Blevins. I'm the director of the Tarrant County College Surgical Technology Program, and I am so grateful for your support of our wonderful students, especially in the class of 2021. Stay tuned. Season 4, Episode 6 is all about evil surgeons and how they could have been stopped. So take a listen to Jamie, Jocelyn, and Stoney in our next episode. We'll see you soon.